as you all know, today is Sacrament Sunday. All loose money will go to the Oblation Fund. Please bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the day that you've given us, and thank you for all that you do for us throughout this week. Please be with this money so that we'll go to a good cause, and thank you for being with us throughout this week. And I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
See, you're still with us. I thought, Lillian, I thought you were leaving.
Tomorrow.
Oh, good. Well, her and I tease each other all the time, so I don't disrespectful at all. I need to introduce everybody, and like I say, with my age, I forget everybody's name, so I hope I can remember that. I said, as long as I can remember mine, that's all right. So I think I can get mine. Okay, on the end, there's Claire Turning, and Bob Bates will be bringing a message, and Larry Ellis here, and Mike Hancock, Josiah Bates, and Richard Adams. Get everybody. For a reading this morning, this is not scripture, but it's from the priesthood manual. I found my page here. The significance of communion, I'll read this, then we'll have our opening song and prayer. It brings Christ to our remembrance and is a witness to God that we take the name of Jesus Christ upon us afresh. It is a witness to God that we will keep His commandments, and it is also a witness to the unity of the church. It encourages the spirit of repentance by which there is remission of sin through the renewal of the Spirit's ministry within us. Shall we turn our hymnals to uh, 169, and then Richard will bring our invocation.
Yeah.
this day with joy in our hearts that we can gather in this building and strive to be that one heart, one mind, join with one another, basking in your spirit. Father, we walk different walks of life, and yet we come in here and have a common goal to worship thee and ask for your spirit to come be with us. We have many burdens that we lay at your feet this day, and step out tomorrow or later on today that we might leave those burdens and those sins at your feet and start with a new beginning and repent and strive to do no more. We ask that you be with Brother Bob as he brings the spoken word this morning, that you might loosen his tongue and truly let him bask in the Spirit and let his words flow freely from his mouth. Father, we love thee and we thank thee for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Christ does love us, and we're all sins by nature, or I am, and I think most of us are, have sins in our lives that we need to change. But the love of Christ is more powerful than all that if we want to turn to Him. So I know many of us probably have, hope not too many, but many of us have tried to live our life without Christ, and I did that for a lot of years, but excuse me, but I can tell you that it's much easier when you got Christ in your life. And always think of, when I think of the gospel, I think of the greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And a lot of us, I think, get loving Christ down, but sometimes we have a problem with the second one, second part of it. And I really, can you all hear me? I'm sorry, I'm not speaking. Okay. I know that I think the Lord's helped me that, in a lot of ways to love other people. And I used to think I really didn't like people too well, but I think I always have loved people. I always feel so insufficient when I can get behind this pulpit. But, I know that we all have different struggles as we go through life. And many of us have health problems or marriage problems or just name it, clear on through. We've probably, most of us experienced a lot of this. We want to remember when we have the struggles, we also have many blessings. And I think of the way the Lord has blessed me, and the family and friends, and I was telling everybody when they're they were nervous about getting up front. I said, well, you shouldn't be nervous because they're all your friends. And I know that's true, but it doesn't keep you nervous. I think that as the scriptures, something that would help us all if we'd read the Sermon on the Mount about once a week or something like that. It really makes us realize that the Lord loves us, but we've got a long ways to go to get to being perfected. And I know that without Him, we cannot be perfected. And it's only through His great love for us we can. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful as to have a good wife and good family. I don't know how come I ended up with her. We didn't have much in common, but anyway, I'm so grateful to her and for my family because they've always supported me, and I'm just glad to have the opportunity that I have to serve. I think that we need to. We're supposed to be a joyful people, and I don't think that means we're out laughing all the time, but I think it means to have a joyful countenance about us, and I see that here, and I'm very grateful for that, and I pray that we might, as we move into our new building, that we might all have that joyful countenance and let people know that we love Jesus. I just am... so grateful for the Lord, and I'm so grateful for the things that He has helped me over problems I've had and helped me through. But I'm just so grateful, and I try continually to keep the commandments, and I sure can't stand here and tell you I keep them all, because I don't, but I attempt to. And I think that's what communion is all about, this opportunity to be forgiven and to make new commitments in your life that you will do better. And when we repent, true repentance, sometimes isn't very much fun for a while, but it is what we all need, and we need to be cleansed. So... I think that as we partake of communion, we can think upon the things we need to change in our life and help us to start out with a clean slate and with a greater determination to witness for our Lord Jesus.
Sin. In this sweet morning. much as possible, facing them, as long as I make the trail over the bridge.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them thy name of thy Son, and always remember him, and keep his commandments which he has given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
God, the Eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Thank you.
I'm supposed to give a sermon. I don't know. Sermon's kind of long. I think I might only take up about 10 or 20 minutes here. First of all, I want to tell you about an experience I've already had this morning. Those in the priesthood here in the congregation know what it is that when we go to the back room, we gather together and make assignments and see who does what and what order we'll go in and that sort of thing. And then we gather around in a circle with our arms around each other. And the presiding elder then prays for the Spirit to be with us. And this morning when he did it, the Spirit rested heavily on me. And I thought to myself, how I love these men who are with me, who will be up here with me this morning to bring to you a service that is so wonderful. It is most significant in my life, and that's the sacrament service. Subject what I'm going to talk about this morning is covenants. I have come to know that this is an important subject in my life. And I'd like to read from, in the beginning here, from the 9th chapter of Genesis, as God spoke to Noah. I'm sorry. Now I'll read a few verses and then end up with two at the end. And God spake unto Noah and his sons with him, saying, I behold, I will establish my covenant with you, which I made unto your father Enoch, concerning your seed after you. And then down to the 17th verse. And I will establish my covenant with you, which I made unto Enoch, concerning the remnants of your posterity. And I've always assumed that means us too, the prosperity of those who are ahead of us. And God made a covenant to Noah and said, that this shall be a token of the covenant I make between me and you, and forever living creature with you, for perpetual generations. In other words, it'll be on and on. And I will set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and the earth.
And it shall come to pass that when I bring a bow over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which I have made between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become the flood to destroy the flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant which I have made unto the father Enoch, that when men shall keep my commandments, Zion shall again come down to the earth, the city of Enoch, which I have caught up unto me, up unto myself. This is my everlasting covenant, that when thy prosperity shall embrace the truth and look upward, then shall Zion look downward, and all the heavens shall shake with gladness, and the earth will tremble with joy. Not too long ago, last summer, Brother Dan and I were standing down there by that door, and the congregation had prayed so fervently for rain. We needed it so bad. And that evening, I can't remember whether it was a Sunday evening or a Wednesday evening, it doesn't really matter. That evening, we had a shower. It wasn't a lot of shower, it wasn't a lot of rain. It just lifted our spirits and lifted our hearts because we knew it was about, and we would probably get more. And Dan and I looked out through that door, and lo and behold, here's a beautiful rainbow sitting out there. And it was probably one of the best ones I'd ever seen because it went all the way from ground to ground. And not only that, but there was a smaller one underneath it. And I thought to myself, how God has blessed us. Now, there's a lot of people who say, well, that's nothing at all. You can take a prism in a science lab and project a light through it, and you'll see the colors of the rainbow, all the colors that are in the light. Well, I can tell you right now, there was not a billion glass prisms out there making that bowl. There was a lot of raindrops that were moving. They weren't sitting still, they were moving. And God's hand was in that rainbow to project it to the eyes of all those who look to it. It's a reminder of His covenant to us. It doesn't mean He's going to forgive us of our sins and we won't receive judgment unless we have certain conditions in our lives. But He will always remember that He is our God and we are His people. When I was a young lad, about 8 years old, I got baptized. Some significant place up in Michigan, insignificant place. And a creek called the Azalea River. Now the Azalea River wasn't any bigger than the little blue is right now at a low tide or low level. And they had to search around for me to find a place that was deep enough to be baptized. At that time in my life, I didn't have a great deal of faith. I mean, I learned about Jesus in Sunday school and the church and Christmas and Easter and so on and so forth as they taught classes that brought these things into the life of a youngster. I didn't know a lot about repentance either. I mean, after all, I was an 8-year-old just trying my wings. And I got into a lot of trouble from time to time. And it wasn't just trouble with my father and mother, who were gracious in their efforts to try to teach me how to live a saintly life. It was just something that I had to do. I had to grow in the faith. And it took a lot of years for me. A lot of years for me to figure out how to
repent. And then the significance of the baptism that had been done to me. But all through the years, that I've been in the church, the most significant service has always been the sacrament service. Jesus used the Feast of the Passover to have the Last Supper with his disciples. And when he said that, when he did that, they got it all together and broke the bread. And blessed the bread and the wine. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. When we're kneeling here together in this service, I find that to enjoy the and bask in the Spirit is an easy thing. It happens more in this service than any other service I'm involved with. I've got a preaching service that I listen to or whatever, classes. The sacrament service is the most sacred to me. And when we do it together, I don't know whether you've noticed it or not yourself, but when I kneel, sometimes out of the side of my eye, I see other people kneeling with me. And that's a significant thing in my life. That we're kneeling together, partaking of the bread and wine that'll be the symbols of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins. And it is in that that our faith begins to grow even more so. And through the years, that's the way my faith has grown. Didn't happen all at once. It's happened over a number of years. And I thank God that I ever lived to be 80, that I have plenty of time to develop my faith and think of ways to repent from those things that are shortcomings in my life. Sometimes I even think when I kneel down from being next to my wife there and we hold hands and the bread and the wine is being served or is being blessed, in my mind's eye I see Jesus standing there beside the altar and he has his arms out like this, just as you see in the picture there. And he's saying to us, sometimes I think he's saying it to me, and he said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. In that is why the sacrament service means so much to me. And I know that it means the same to you. Come unto me. I will give you rest. And as you take upon yourself the bread and the wine, I know you're in obedience to the commandments of Christ because he said, do this in remembrance of me. This covenant that we have with God and with Jesus, God who has come to earth to sacrifice for our sins. This covenant we have also with each other. This is not a single covenant to the direction of God, but is with each other. When I look around and I see the people here, my wife and I feel so blessed for being here amongst you people, that we can hardly contain ourselves. I want to read the last two more verses of Genesis 9 here, 24 and 25. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will establish my covenant unto thee, which I have made between me and thee for every living creature in all flesh that shall be upon the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and thee, for all flesh shall be upon the earth, for all flesh that shall be upon the earth. After that experience with Dan out there seeing those rainbows, just the other day we were standing there and I said to Dan, do you remember that rainbow we saw? Those two rainbows? He said, I sure do. And I said to him then, whenever I see a rainbow, I'm reminded of the covenant that God has made with Noah to be carried on down to us. One of the hymns, the last hymn, the first hymn we sang this morning in the prayer service, we sang hymn number 3. We have pages that are stuck together here for some reason. Here we go. As great and marvelous are thy works. The verse is what stuck to me this morning and filled me with the Spirit. It said, it reads, sing of his mighty love, for it is wonderful. Let his praise throughout the earth resound. Honor and majesty now and forever be unto him alone, wherever man is found. I would that you should know that I pray that you will all be blessed, not only by this service that we have here this morning, but all of the things that we do together, which enhances our covenant with one another and our love for each other. That is so, so important. Be God's people, whatever you do. Love him and love each other, for that is his commandment.
We'll call about it as soon as that happens. Let's turn our hymns to number 60. Thank you.
God and our Father, in the sweet and precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we have met here this morning, Father, to praise you, to worship you, and to keep your commandments. And as we have reached forth, Father, this day with our hands and our eyes and partake of that blessed meal that has been provided by your Son, Jesus Christ, we thank you, Father, for your words. For we know when we incorporate your words into our life, it builds character. Character that is worthy to be in thy kingdom. And so, Father, as we leave this building this morning and go to our abode, we pray that your Spirit might touch each heart, that we might reflect upon what we have done this day and the significance and the importance of it, that we will never take this sacrament lightly, because it is that first covenant that we have made with you, Father, that we would keep your laws and your commandments, and we'd be obedient to you and you only, that we would worship you with all of our heart, mind, and strength. So, Father, as we reflect upon this day that has been set aside for worship, that we would keep our minds and our thoughts clean, Father, because we have been forgiven of those sins and shortcomings in our life, and you have paid the price that we might be free, is my prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.